as I looked at yesterday, I felt good about the fact that, you know, Ginn did not hurt us. His presence there is always something that you have to be totally concerned about. But we, you know, were able to, we only punted twice. And one, the ball was allowed to bounce, and the other one was out of bounds. And the kickoff area, we really pounded the ball well. Lawrence did a nice job of that. And they had two returns. And I think 26 and 25 were where they were. Frank Gore, as the rusher, didn't hurt us. And as a matter of fact, over the course of the day, holding them to 77 yards rushing, where they had averaged 138, you know, we got hurt by a touchdown run after the second turnover and a few runs in between there. But by and large, we did a pretty good job with that. We did lose the turnover battle, which we preached about that. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? Whatever's going on in this phone, and my earpiece is crazy. But anyway,
yeah, there's a little bit of feedback, but we can hear you fine.
Okay, feedback. It's glick 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 glick. That feedback. Okay, and then the turnover thing. You know, we were minus one. The second turnover really hurt us. And they scored on a running play immediately following that. And then we were, you know, 1-for-4 in the green zone, which we talked about all week as being critical. We have to score touchdowns in the green zone. They kicked field goals, but that's not something that that we knew in the long run was going to be an issue. So, that pretty much sums it up. We waited until late. We drove and scored. Our defense got us the ball right back. We drove the length of the field, and then you know the result. It was 4th and 2. We had converted 2 fourth downs, felt really good about what we had, and got a ball batted down on us. So, that frustration that you come away with having come down the field and felt good about it, your team is all rallied up and looking forward to a finish of a score and an overtime, didn't happen.
Tom, can you go over the injuries, Bowley and Ross? And
I could have started out with that. Would have saved you some time. Bowley, hamstring, it'll end up being, day-to-day. Ross has the left quad contusion, and he would be day-to-day as well.
Anybody else?
Not significant. We got some bumps and bruises, but we'll see how they come out tomorrow.
You're a pretty analytical guy, and you've had a series over the years of second halves where you haven't played as well as the first half. Are there any particular things that you have studied or figured out in terms of why these things happened and how to alleviate them?
I can't imagine why this question keeps coming up. In terms of, you got to take each year one at a time. You got to take each game one at a time. This is a game against a team that was 7-1 in the NFC, and it's not that we played poorly. It's not that we da 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 da. We didn't win the game. I don't feel we should ever give up 27, and I certainly am not satisfied with 20 points. But as far as analyzing why and what, we didn't play well enough to win, and that's it. Does it have anything to do with the second half? No. It has to do with the 9th game of the year, which I felt we had a great chance to win, which with the ball on the 10-yard line with a minute to play, I felt very good about it. It's been the kind of same scenario we've won game after game with, and so here we are again, and this time it didn't happen.
Tom, is there I don't want to say it's fool's gold, but your team has been so successful at not playing with the lead and coming back, with Eli in the fourth quarter that there's a feeling, well, we can do this. We can do this, and that's a great feeling to have, but it's almost playing with fire a little bit that you need to maybe get a lead and maintain a lead and have a cushion going into the fourth quarter so these big heroics aren't necessary down the stretch.
Well, it sounds good. It's a good scenario. I'd like to, if that were to be the case, that would be fine. But it hasn't been the case, and we do have great belief in what's been going on. We didn't win the fourth quarter yesterday, but we do have great belief that good things are going to happen whenever they occur. It's a 60-minute game. We play it that way. You know, sure, it would be nice to have a cushion and a lead, and but you're always going to have to play your way through the end of the football game, and no matter what. And so, you know, however you do it, if you win the game, I think that's the objective.
Tom, yesterday you mentioned, yesterday Justin Tuck mentioned that Michael Boyle is perhaps the most important player on that defense. Tom, how important is he for your defense?
Well, everybody's important. You know, I don't agree with this statement necessarily. Michael's very important to us. He's our middle backer. He communicates. He's played very, very well. You know, we want to get him back as fast as we possibly can, and that that's our goal. We're to get him healthy again, so he can come back on the field and play the way he's capable of playing, and that's the whole purpose of this thing. It's not about any one individual. It's about a team, and someone now is going to have to step up if he can't go and perform the duties that that he had and try to help us win a game.
If he can't go on Sunday, you've got a lot of these young guys. There seem to be some confusion at times. How do you get that cleared up right away?
Well, the guys that are going to play will have an entire week of practicing whatever spot it is and how we determine that it'll be played. So the practice week is the important thing.
Greg Jones said he should have run with Vernon Davis on that touchdown. Is that the way you saw it?
That's the way it should have been, yes.
Tom, whether Eli has led a successful fourth quarter comeback or not, does he always come back to work the same way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He always comes in. He is, you know, I use the term valid self-analysis. He does a great job of that. He is, you know, straightforward. He wants the answers. He's not afraid to be wrong or admit that he was wrong on a certain play. He's good for his teammates that way. All he wants to do is be the best he can be, and he wants to, if there's a something that needs to be ironed out, he wants it that way. And if there's ever a situation where, you know, he could have done something better, then he volunteers it. But he is always the same.
Tom, the special teams problems that, again, we saw this weekend, are they correctable? Do you think that this is a personnel problem?
What problem are you referring to?
Well, I guess the penalties and also...
They're correctable. Yep. Penalties are correctable, yes. I mean, I can't imagine someone thinking they're going to get away with what happened there yesterday and not be called for a penalty. So that's easy. You either do it the way it's supposed to be done or you're not going to play. I mean, that's not a hard one.
And the onside's kick preparation?
Well, that... The guy's exceptional at it. He's, what is he, 9 of 19 in his career with surprise onsides. We talk all week about it. You do the best you can with that. We let our guard down just a little bit, didn't attack the ball, and that was the consequence. So I take responsibility for that. I mean, it's a very difficult thing. There's nothing different about his approach to the ball. There's no substitution pattern. You know, players are trying to a little bit of a two-edged sword. You have to, on the one hand, be prepared to defend against that, and then on the other hand, you're responsible for being downfield, making a block that helps us with a return. So, you know, he's very good at it. I make no excuse for it. I'll take the responsibility for it again. We talked about it all week long. We talked about how impressive he is. We showed him everything about his approach and so on and so forth, but he... you know, we obviously let our guard down a little bit, and they got it. That's correctable, yes.
Hey, Tom, Michael Vick has two broken ribs. How does that alter, if at all, your preparation for the Eagles and Vick?
You know what? I haven't even begun to gain or gather information about Philadelphia, and I can just tell you this, that they are a talented football team. And, you know, we're going to prepare as hard as we can. And whatever the circumstances are, we'll have to deal with it in our preparation. But as of this time, I've not begun that aspect of it.
Tom, two minor officiating things. When Tolleson's drawn offside, is that pushing the rules a little bit, or is that that's an acceptable play?
Well, you have to understand that, you know, the intent to deceive is something that has to be determined. The officials did not think that that was an intent to deceive. We can disagree all we want. It happened before on a 4th-and-1 for them, and they were called for it. But it's obvious that it's a part of their plan, and they executed very well on that particular play. The backside tight end did false start, and that wasn't called.
The other thing I was going to ask you about is Ballard on the last play. Was he being tackled?
I think that's safe to say that was defensive holding, yes.
Do you think you might be able to get Bradshaw back this week?
We'll see. There's no sense speculating. He's going to have to go out and practice, and he certainly has had a couple of good solid weeks of rest, and hopefully he'll be able to do some things. Probably won't know till we get him out there.
Tom, I was wondering in general, when you go into a preparation week, when you have to maybe prepare for two quarterbacks, how does that affect the preparation?
Well, you know, in this case, you have two very gifted and talented quarterbacks who can do some of the same things. So there are some areas that are similar, and there are some that will have to be differentiated.
Tom, you have such a strange schedule in that you don't play the team that would appear to be your chief challenger right now, the Cowboys, until the last few weeks of the season. Is that something you would prefer would be different, or does it matter?
I don't even bother with that kind of stuff. We play the Philadelphia Eagles this week. It is our schedule. That's what's been dictated to us, and I don't try to get involved with the what-if kind of stuff in terms of that. I think you waste a lot of time and thought in that type of thing. There's nothing you can do about it. It's nothing going to change. You just go about your business now. We have our next opponent, and it is in the division, and it is a very big game, as you know.
Is there a part of you that comes away with feeling some positive things about yesterday because of who you played and the way the game went down and the fact that you had...
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, in the locker room, you know, we have a group of fighters. We have a team of guys that will fight you and battle you. It's not always going our way. Yesterday wasn't. We didn't play especially well yesterday. But we do fight, and we do battle. And despite some errors and so on and so forth, our effort is good, and we do fight. We do battle, and that's the key thing. And as long as we continue to do that, I think we can correct a lot of these other things. I know we can play better because many people who played yesterday didn't play as well as they did the week before. And that's something that we've got to get straightened around, no doubt. There's a lot of positives. Yeah, a lot of positives.
Those elements of fight that you talk about with this team, did they differentiate this team from some others you may have had? I mean, is there a certain characteristic to this team?
I think there's good unity on this team, and I think they believe in each other, and I think they enjoy being around each other and working with one another. And I'm not comparing them to any other team we've had. I'm just talking about this team.